Hebrews chapter 12 tonight, as we come back to our study and the verses of our theme of this study in verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, believers, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Back to verse number 1, and our phrase that we're studying this quarter is, let us lay aside every weight. And we've looked at a number of weights as we've gone through this study. And now tonight we come to the one that I think many of us probably challenge to lay aside. It is the burden of worry. The burden of worry. A comedian tells the story about trying to throw away a trash can. He said, it's the one thing you can't get the garbage man to pick up. He said it was an old aluminum can with a rusty bottom and holes through the bottom of it. He set it out at the street when it was time for trash to be picked up with nothing in it, so the trash man would know that it was time for that thing to be retired. He said he came back home that afternoon and the can was stacked up with the rest of his cans, just as pleased and pleasant as it could be. Well, the next week he put it out again, but this time he turned it upside down so that the trash man could see there's rusted all through the bottom and holes through it. It was definitely trash. When he came home, it was stacked up again next to the other trash cans, nice and neat. So the next week, he said, I'm going to show him that this is trash. And he took a sledgehammer, and he beat the can in pretty good. He left it out in front on its side, all beat in. When he came home, it was not only stacked up next to the other trash cans, the garbage man had actually tried to beat out the dings in it so it was usable still. So he finally said, I can only do one thing. They've got to get rid of this trash can. It's not worth anything. He went down to the hardware store. He bought a heavy-duty chain and a padlock. And he chained the old can to a large tree in his front yard. Sure enough, the next morning, somebody had stolen the trash can. Worry's a lot like that trash can. Jesus wants us to get rid of worry, but it just keeps hanging around. What does it take for us to be free from worry? I think tonight I'll give you a lot of things to think about, but there's really one statement I pray you'll carry home with you, and we'll see that. But we're going to go to Psalm 23 tonight, very familiar passage of Scripture. But it's not just a passage in the Bible for grieving those who've lost loved ones. This is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. And it speaks a lot about stress and worry and care and concerns and anxieties of life and what Jesus does to help us with it. So before we jump right into the study, let's just read this psalm. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, this will be wonderful when this happens. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The 23rd Psalm is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. It's by far probably one of the most familiar and most read passages at funerals. However, this psalm is also a source of comfort to not only those who are grieving of their departed loved ones, but also comforting those who struggle. Struggle with care, struggle with toil, struggle with stresses of the daily life. In Psalm 23, we find several causes of daily stress and God's answers to them. Well, maybe someday we'll come back and study this psalm in those regards, but tonight we're just looking at one. We're going to focus on the stress that's mentioned in this passage in verse 1, worry. We all worry to some extent. We worry about our finances, we worry about our marriages, we worry about our children, our health, or our future, or the state of our nation, or the state of our church, or our vehicles, or all manner of things. But worry is counterproductive to life. There's some major issues with worry. Worry is unhelpful. It does not accomplish anything good. Worry is very unhelpful. It never solves anything. Worry is like sitting in your driveway, in your car, with it in park and the emergency brake up, and you keep racing your car engine. You're making a lot of noise, but you're not going anywhere. That's worry. Worry cannot change the past. Worry cannot change the future. And the only thing that worry can do for the present is to make you miserable. It's unhelpful. It does not work. But worry is also unreasonable. Worry exaggerates the problems that we have. It never minimizes the problem. It only makes it grow in our mind of how bad things are. It makes, you know, that colloquial saying, it makes mountains out of molehills. Worry takes our problems and blows them out of proportion in the imagination of our mind where we say, it's impossible, we can't do this. The more we worry, the more impossible they become. But no matter how much we worry, it never changes the situation for the better. Worry only makes us grow weaker and wearier. Worry is unreasonable. But also worry is unhealthy. Our bodies were not made to worry. Worry causes ulcers. Worry causes backaches and insomnia and high blood pressure, heart attacks and strokes and diabetes, miscarriages, stress, and Lord knows what else. Of all of God's creation, humans are the only that worry. The only thing that worries about something in God's creation is us. We worry when we were not created to worry. The old English word for worry is the word struggle and the word to choke. This is what worry does to us. It chokes the life out of us. We were not born to worry, but we have learned to worry, which is positive because if we have learned to worry, then we can learn not to worry. So the Bible has the answer on how we can overcome worry. Do you believe that God will take care of you? Have you seen the proof of God's hand on your life that He has taken care of you? Do you not think that He can continue to do that today and tomorrow? That's exactly what David is saying here in the first verse of Psalm 23. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want means to be devoid of anything, to lack, to be without. He said, I am not going to be without anything if the Lord is my shepherd. I am not going to be without. I'm not going to lack what I need. You know, David is probably one of the best human instruments God could have used to write this psalm. He was a shepherd. He tended his father's sheep. He knew the responsibility and the obligations and the duties of the shepherd. If we could believe that God is our shepherd, that He is going to take care of us, then we would have no need to worry about anything because He says, I shall not want. We just simply need to be the sheep. We need to allow God to be the shepherd. We need to realize we're just the sheep. The sheep need a shepherd. The sheep need a leader. The sheep need someone to provide for them. The sheep need that protector. We need to realize we're not the shepherd. We're the sheep. And I pray if nothing else you get tonight, you take away that we are sheep. We need a shepherd. You know why we worry? Because we're not in control. Sheep are not in control. The shepherd's in control. So if we can grasp that the shepherd's got it, he is in control, and we're just the sheep, and he's going to take care of our needs. He's going to protect us. He's going to be there. We are his sheep. When we make the Lord our shepherd, how is that the answer to our worries? Well, it first comes to understand what a shepherd does. What does someone out on the Judean hills with a flock of sheep, what does that shepherd do? What is his responsibilities? Well, a shepherd provides. He provides food, he provides shelter, he provides the basic necessities for his sheep. A shepherd also protects his flock. He defends his sheep against the enemies that are lurking about. A shepherd also guides his sheep. Sheep are dumb creatures. They will sit there and look at a creek and I don't know how to get across it, and it's not even ankle deep, and they'll just sit there and look at it. A sheep needs to be guided, to be led. They become confused and they don't know which way to go. You ever been like that? We're sheep. A shepherd also corrects. Any problem that comes along, the sheep can't take care of, which they can't take care of much, the shepherd corrects it. The shepherd takes care of it. The amazing thing that is about this sheep and shepherd is God has promised to do these four things for us, His believers, His children. If we'll trust Him, if we allow Him to be our shepherd, He will do these roles of the shepherd. God declares, I will provide for you. Does He not say in Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Our shepherd declares, I'm going to provide for my sheep. Our shepherd says that he will protect his sheep. Oh, this is a beautiful verse. Turn over to Isaiah 54. We'll come back to Psalm 23 in just a moment. But notice what it says here in Isaiah 54. You know those verses, you know you've read them and you've read them and you read them, and then you're studying for something like this and they just leap off the page. Isaiah 54, notice verse 17. Where we're talking about God, our shepherd, will protect us. Verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now, I know he's talking about the nation of Israel, but he's also talking about his children, his beloved. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Are we not of the heritage of the servants of the Lord? Sure we are. Then he says he's going to protect us. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He will protect his own. But then also he says, I will guide you. I will lead you to where you need to be. Now, we're stubborn sheep, and sometimes we go our own direction. The flock might be going this way, and we go that way. The flock might be going to a beautiful pasture land, and we go over here to a bunch of brambles. We're not too smart sometimes. God is trying to lead us to what's best for us, and we make choices that sometimes are not the best choices. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Another great verse you hear in Isaiah. Go to back to chapter 30. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. Thinking on this, that he will guide us. Isaiah 30, 21, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. You know, any time that we make a decision that goes against the leading of God, where he's leading us one way and we're going a different way, the Holy Spirit's still there. And he's going to say, turn back, turn back. Turn back, directing our steps. Of course, we know Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Esther Ennis used to illustrate this so well. A lamp unto my feet. We're holding out a lamp, a lantern. It's just shining right here in front of us to our next step. We have to trust God for the next step. We can't look down the path. We need to look right here. But it's also a light to my path. Isaiah 58, verse 11 says, then the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. He's going to provide, and he's going to protect, and he's going to guide. But what about this correct? I will correct the problems that are in your life. What problems? The things we cannot overcome. Those mountaintops that we just can't conquer. Those obstacles that we just can't clear on our own. They're impossible for us. As hard as we try, we cannot. And we begin to worry about them. And God says, I'm your shepherd. I will correct what needs to be corrected. For he says in Matthew 19 and verse 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Luke 1:37 mentions basically the same thing where it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I love Jeremiah 32:27. And Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. That sort of encompasses every person. Is there anything too hard for me? No. Our shepherd can beat any enemy. Our shepherd can clear any obstacle. Our shepherd can provide every need. Our shepherd can protect us from the vilest of enemies. He can correct. Notice if you're still in Isaiah, to go to chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And I ask the question, will you let God be your shepherd? Will you let God be your shepherd? If you will, then Isaiah 40 and verse 11 shows us what He will do for His sheep. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. That's provide. He shall gather the lambs with His arms. That's protect. And carry them in His bosom. Carry them over the obstacles, the struggles, the challenges, those things they can't overcome, He will correct. And shall gently lead those that are with young. He will guide. What a beautiful verse. He says, I will, if you let me be your shepherd, I will do these things. I will provide. I will protect. I will guide. I will correct. So how do we make God our shepherd? Well, first, of course, we need to know Jesus as our Savior. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and if not, He's not our shepherd. But more importantly, He's not our Lord. Now we go back to Psalm 23, and again, the first verse. Where David pens, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The first thing is this. If we are going to make God our shepherd, before the Lord can be our shepherd, He must first be our Lord. The Lord cannot be our shepherd until the shepherd is our Lord. The two go hand in hand, but the Lord always precedes the shepherd. Because if you go back over to the New Testament and you see where they have built a sheepfold and there are sheep in that sheepfold, and then there are sheep that are outside of the sheepfold that don't belong in the sheepfold. We need to make sure that the Lord is our Lord. That's accepting Christ as our Savior. Then we need to make Him our shepherd. What does that word Lord mean here in Psalm 23:1? It means the one in control, the one who rules. Does the Lord rule your life? Does the Lord in control of your life? To accept Jesus as Lord means we have to listen to Him. You know, a very popular verse, let's go and look at it, we have time. John chapter 10. Jesus here is teaching. Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. In John 10, verse 14. Of course, it's the discourse, the discussion about the Good Shepherd. Notice John 10, 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. If God is your shepherd, then He first must be your Lord. If He is your Lord and He is your shepherd, then He knows you and we know Him. Notice verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If we're going to listen to our shepherd and follow our shepherd and allow our shepherd to rule and reign over our lives as Lord, then there's three words in these verses that we need to catch. We need to know the shepherd, we need to hear the shepherd, and we need to follow the shepherd. That's putting Him in total control. We worry because we're not in control. That's the root behind worry. We want to be in control. And when we can't overcome this situation and we can't figure out how to get out of this situation and we can't mentally bring ourselves to the solution of this situation, we worry. When really, we should be saying, I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. I need to be a sheep. I need to let God be the shepherd. Let Him guide. Let Him direct. God does not and will not be co-pilot in our lives. Those bumper stickers that say that God is my co-pilot? No. God's pilot. He's in control, or that's where He should be. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. That word, nothing, careful for nothing, means don't be worrisome. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Paul tells us to pray about everything. Well, I can handle this one. No, you're a sheep. I'm a sheep. This one's not too challenging. No, I'm a sheep. It's all challenging. I can make this decision. Can you? I'm a sheep. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sheep. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know what the word cast means? You know the sound a dump truck makes when it backs up? Meep, beep, beep, gets annoying, especially if it's backing up a long ways. Cast means to unload like a dump truck. It means to let it go, to drop it off. If we're going to cast all of our care upon Him, then we need to put all those things that we're worrying about, all those things we're stressing about, put it in the back of the truck, and back it up to the feet of Jesus and say, here you go, Jesus. You're my shepherd. You take care of it, please. I can't. I'm just your sheep. We need to consider all things one day at a time. The most of the things that we worry about are things that are a day ahead, a week ahead, 6 months ahead, 10 years ahead, a lifetime ahead. There's some things that we worry about right now. But I guarantee everything that we worry about, we can't change. We can't change. If we could change it, then why are we worrying? We're sheep. God wants us to focus. He wants us to concentrate. He wants us to consider whatever we're facing one day at a time. I'm a sheep. You're the shepherd. Matthew 6:34, Jesus says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Worry doesn't do anything about yesterday. It's gone. It's in the past. Worry can't control tomorrow. It hasn't come yet. And worry only messes up today. The future can be overwhelming. Therefore, God has wisely divided the future into tiny increments of 24 hours a day, so that we will live one day at a time. There's no magic pill that keeps us from worrying. The key to overcoming worry is the day by day, hour by hour, deciding to say, Jesus, you're my shepherd. I'm your sheep. I need your help. You know, those sheep, they're just buying in the fields. Shepherd, I need you. I need you, shepherd. I have a need. I have an enemy. I need to be comforted. I need to be guided. So what's got you worried? What are you so worried about that is causing those little worry lines around your forehead? It's causing you to have ulcers and insomnia. It's causing you to hurt your own health. What are you worrying about? We need to visualize the Lord as our shepherd. And then we need to visualize ourselves as the sheep. Lord, I'm just a sheep. I can't do this. I can't save my lost loved ones. I can't bring them to Christ. You're going to have to. Now, I have a responsibility. But Lord, I need you to do that. Lord, my health is deteriorating. I'm not a doctor. I can't medically diagnose it and prescribe the medicine that I need and do the test. Lord, I need you. I'm just a sheep. Lord, I have a financial need. Lord, I have a physical need. Lord, I have a spiritual need. Visualize yourself. I'm just a sheep. But not just any sheep. You, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you are of the sheep and of the sheepfold of the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who will give his life for his sheep, and he did. We're in the very best of hands. We just need to stop worrying about things. Easier said than done. I'm preaching to the choir. But that's what we need to take home. We're just sheep. We're sheep in the sheepfold of Christ. And He has a plan. And He is working His plan. Let's take our hands off. And say, Lord, it's all yours. Direct me, guide me, lead me, comfort me, strengthen me, heal me, protect me, provide for me. You know what? He will. Because you're His sheep. And He says He will. What a shepherd. Let us take home tonight that we're just His sheep. But what a great thing that is, to be His sheep. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given us the analogy that you are the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and that you love your sheep. And Lord, we're just sheep. We have intelligence, we have strength, we have abilities, but only because you have given them to us. We are nothing without you. Praise the Lord. We can be called your sheep. Help us to stop worrying and to start trusting. Bless your people. Use this message to help others to learn that they are sheep. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray.